Senior Iranian lawmaker says U.S. government merely acts according to its own interests with no regard for international laws. UN Arab League envoy to Syria calls for talks between the Syrian government and opposition. Dozens killed, scores wounded in a series of bomb attacks in Iraq. Saudi security forces keep on clamping on pro-reformists and peaceful protesters. And some thousands of Egyptians rally to demand justice for people killed in clashes with police forces. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of IRIN in English News with me, Nima Chitsas. The head of Iran's Majlis, or the Parliament's National Security and Foreign Policy Commission, says the U.S. always acts according to its own interests with no regard for international laws. Alaeddin Bujeri said the U.S. government continues its hostile policies as soon as it feels that the policy of confrontation benefits it. He added, if the American government thinks they can halt Iran's peaceful nuclear activities by mounting pressure, it should know it is beating the air. He said Iran would continue developing its peaceful nuclear energy program based on the regulations of IAEA and within the framework of peaceful objectives. Bujeri noted earlier that one of the reasons that Tehran never welcomed the U.S. proposal for direct talks was Washington's lack of honesty. The UN Arab League envoy and international mediator Lakhdar Brahimi called for talks between the Syrian government and opposition on a political solution. After a meeting at Arab League headquarters in Cairo, Brahimi said negotiations could begin on United Nations premises. He, however, gave no specific location.
Al-Khatib's initiative has opened the door and challenged the Syrian government to what it continuously says, that it is ready for dialogue and a peaceful solution. We believe that a dialogue should take place in one of the United Nations premises between the opposition and a delegation from the Syrian government. We think this will be a start to getting out of the dark tunnel that Syria has entered.
At least 53 people were killed and some 125 wounded in a series of bomb attacks in the eastern part of the Iraqi capital of Baghdad, while a gunfire attack killed four people in the northern city of Mosul on Sunday. In Baghdad, a spate of car and roadside bombs struck crowded marketplaces and parking lots at the mainly Shiite districts with the aim of causing heavy casualties among residents. The attacks occurred around 11 a.m. local time when three car bombs went off in Saad City district. Two more car bombs hit Al-Husseiniyah district and one hit Al-Amin, Kamaliyah and Saadiyah districts each. Two more roadside bombs ripped through Palestine Street and the district of Karada in central Baghdad. No one has so far claimed responsibility for the attacks, but Al-Qaeda Front in Iraq frequently claims responsibility of most deadly attacks in the country.
What have those innocent people done to deserve this?
The Saudi-backed Bahraini forces have attacked the funeral ceremony for a woman killed by regime forces in the village of Abu Saiba near the capital Manama. Witnesses say security forces fired tear gas and stun grenades at mourners after they started chanting slogans against the ruling Al-Khalifa family on Sunday. The protesters were mourning the death of Amina Mahdi, who died on Friday, a month after inhaling toxic tear gas fired by Bahraini troops at an anti-regime rally in Abu Saiba. Bahrainis have been staging demonstrations since mid-February 2011, demanding political reform and a constitutional monarchy. Scores have been killed, many of them under torture while in custody, and thousands more detained since the popular uprising in Bahrain began. Three people have been wounded in an incident where Saudi security forces opened fire on passers-by in the Katif region of Eastern Province. The violence broke out on Sunday when unknown men attacked a prison in Katif. A 2-year-old child and her mother were also among the wounded. The victims were in a car passing through a security checkpoint when they were shot by security forces. Saudi authorities have not commented on the incident. Elsewhere, Saudi forces have arrested a young woman in the capital of Riyadh for driving. The driver was a university student and she was accompanied by two other women at the time of the attack, at the time of the accident rather. Saudi Arabia is the only country in the world where women are prohibited from driving. The ban is not enforced by law, but it is a religious fatwa imposed by the country's Wahhabi clerics. Also from Saudi Arabia, hundreds of Saudi Shia students on Sunday refused to attend classes to protest against a teacher's insult to their religious beliefs. Some 600 female students refused to attend their classes in the eastern city of Al-Ahsa after the school's principal ignored their complaint against a teacher who had insulted their religious beliefs. And now a recap of our top stories. Senior Iranian lawmaker says U.S. government merely acts according to its own interests with no regard for international laws. UN Arab League envoy to Syria calls for talks between the Syrian government and opposition. Dozens killed, scores wounded in a series of bomb attacks in Iraq. Saudi security forces keep on clamping on pro-reformists and peaceful protesters. And some thousands of Egyptians rally to demand justice for people killed in clashes with police forces. Pakistani Shia Muslims took to the streets to protest the deadly bomb blast in the southwestern city of Quetta. The protesters called on the government to take swift action against those who committed such crimes against Shia Muslims. The governor of Balochistan has also criticized Pakistani security officials for failing to protect Shia Muslims. The bombing tore through a crowded vegetable market in the town of Hazara on the outskirts of Quetta on Saturday. According to hospital sources, the death toll has risen to 84 in the bombing that targeted a busy market. They also confirmed that at least 173 were also injured, including women and children. The powerful explosives were fitted in the hidden cavities of a tanker, which was driven to the busy market in the evening.
We've gathered to express solidarity with the Shia Muslims of Quetta. We want to register a protest. We demand that the authorities, the Pakistani army and judiciary to take notice of the bombing in Quetta and launch operations against those responsible for such acts of terrorism.
Some 3,000 Egyptians have rallied in the city of Port Said to demand justice for 40 people who were killed in clashes with police forces in January. The rally took place on Sunday with protesters closing down on government offices, factories, schools, railways, and banks. Protesters said the rally will last for one day and could continue if their calls for the death sentence for the killers of martyrs are not granted. In January 2012, after a football riot in Port Said, 74 people, including police officers, were killed and 1,000 others were injured. A month later, violence erupted in several Suez Canal cities after a jet sentenced 21 local people to death for their role in the incident. The French-led war in Mali has caused a serious humanitarian crisis in northern areas of the country. The war has also displaced thousands of people who now live in deplorable conditions. The people of northern Mali say the French war and the ruling junta are blocking the flow of humanitarian assistance to the war-affected areas. The northern Malians also say the blockade of the area by French and Malian troops has undermined activities of healthcare workers in several refugee camps. France launched a war in Mali on January 11. Now several thousand people in Lisbon have protested against austerity cuts that the government says are needed to help Portugal out of recession. Protesters are worried more pain is heading their way as the government tries to make more savings.
Shouting it's urgent and needed to kick out the government and people united will never be defeated, CGTP, the biggest trade union in Portugal, demonstrated today against austerity measures and worsening of living conditions. The General Confederation of Portuguese Workers organized protests in 24 cities in all regions of the country. Ermenio Carlos, General Secretary of the Union, announced daily fighting actions till the end of March. In Lisbon, several thousand people joined the demonstration to express its complaints and demands to the government. Most of them are outraged with living conditions in Portugal. People believe government has to resign and can't continue ignoring their demands.
For the General Confederation of Portuguese Workers, it is time to come to the streets and demonstrate. With unemployment rate rising and working conditions decreasing, it may be the only solution Portuguese people still have. Inês Subtil, Shabaka Kabar, Lisbon.
Meantime, a number of Portuguese activists have also marched in Lisbon, calling on the government to be more cautious about the austerity measures adopted in 2013.
This morning, activists demonstrated against government and austerity measures at the Portuguese Parliament. During a weekly debate with Prime Minister and when he was about to speak, a group of 30 people started singing Grândola Vila Morena, considered to be an anthem for Portugal's revolution in 1974. Anthem for Portugal's revolution in 1974. This direct action was illegal, since people can't protest inside Parliament. However, no one was arrested and activists were only taken out of the building. The action was made by a group of citizens against Troika. The main goal was to show government people's general discontentment and make an appeal for tomorrow's protests. This group also made a calling for the 2nd of March demonstration, which they are organizing. The first time this song was broadcasted, a revolution happened in Portugal. Now it's the first time a group of citizens sings it during a protest inside the parliament. Inês Subtil, Shabaka Kabar, Lisbon.
Thousands of people marched to Madrid to protest against plans to privatize parts of their regional public health care system, with some questioning the motives behind the government's actions. Demonstrators carried banners saying public health care should be defended, not sold off, and let's join hands for the public health system. The Madrid region has proposed selling the management of 6 of 20 large public hospitals in its jurisdiction and 10% of its 268 public health centers. Similar demonstrations were also taking place on Sunday in other Spanish cities, including Barcelona.
We cannot see an end to this, but it does not mean that people should stop protesting and making clear their opposition to this process of pillaging, because this is pillaging our public ground, public goods, and public employees for private companies.
Well, I think we are at least giving the government a headache. They are very stubborn, but at least we are giving them a headache. What we should not do is to lose hope. We have to go on because the fight will go on.
Elsewhere in Europe, Bulgarians have protested against foreign power companies in the capital, Sofia, and nationwide protests against higher electricity and heating bills. Thousands of angry Bulgarians chanted mafia and resignation, threw eggs and tomatoes at government buildings during the demonstration. Protesters burned their power bills, accusing the government of failing to improve their falling living standards and protect them from foreign monopolies. They also demanded the expulsion of the three foreign-controlled power distributors that control the local market, that is to say, the Czech Republic's CEZ and EnergoPro and Austria's EVN. A new report has found that future automatic spending cuts in the United States will lead to a loss of some 60,000 jobs and millions of dollars in funding for the state of Massachusetts. It added that the state is slated to lose more jobs, mostly in the defense industry, and $127 million in federal research funding. That is if Congress allows spending cuts to follow through on March 1st. Analysts say the massive arbitrary cuts threatened Massachusetts' role as the nation's high-tech, biotech, and clean-tech hub. They said the spending cuts could be averted through direct cuts aimed at defense spending and nuclear weapons, ending oil subsidies and reforming the tax code. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRI and English News. Join us tomorrow for the latest updates. Goodbye now.